Hello. Thank you for listening to this episode. As this podcast goes on, week after week, collecting more works from more of you as you contribute to our growing picture, it is perhaps important to remember that we are part of an ever-flourishing number of communities connected by the internet. Since the internet came to popularity in the mid-90s, small communities of connected people have arisen where once the communicative mediums and physical distances between them would have created severe barriers. The cultures that have evolved from the enjoyment of various plants and substances have seen a vast resurgence and neogenesis over the past 100 or so years, with the psychedelic culture that bloomed in the late 1950s and 1960s bringing these previously underground cultures to the forefront of Western thought, and not without its controversy. You are no doubt part of some community that uses the internet to discuss and share ideas and art. I came to find Erowid.org in my high school years and found it an invaluable resource of information and insight into altered states of consciousness through plants and substances. And though I did not want to alter mine at the time, I found the stories people shared and information around these substances and plants highly intriguing. Forums such as Shaman Astralis' Corroboree, DMT Nexus, The Shroomery, The Growery, OzTrance, Blue Light, and many others provide a simple medium for discussion. Organisations like Erowid, the Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies, Entheogenesis Astralis, the International Centre for Ethnobotanical Education, Research and Service, Psychedelic Research in Science and Medicine, the Beckley Foundation, and the Open Foundation are just some of the growing number of communities exploring the altered consciousness, with a focus on discussion, academia, science, and research. In coming episodes, we will endeavour to explore these communities a little bit, to shine a light where you may not yet have seen, or to further explore something you might already know a little bit about. There are also several other excellent podcasts out there, and if perhaps you have a long commute time, or generally enjoy listening to podcasts, I recommend checking out a few of the others that I've posted on the Facebook group. Welcome to In Psychedelia, our collaborative canvas. This show is all about showcasing your works. If you make music, write poetry, or have something interesting to say, record it and send it to me. Don't worry about high-quality microphones or anything like that. The important part is to share what you have right now. Head to the Facebook group to contact me. This is Flecked, New Yorker. Thank you. come across several instances lately of people and groups who consider themselves revolutionaries of unification for our Earth and all humankind, who also shy aggressively away from discussions of their frequent and assertive accusations on pretty much everyone who they think they disagree with. Two in particular come to mind, and in both instances I tried to engage in critical discussion of what I considered a fallacious claim, and in both instances the conversation was cut through the use of the block button. I accept that people have the right to block those who they don't like, and I know I can be somewhat dislikable with my insistence on continuing to ask, but why, like an incessant shitty nappy 3-year-old? That aside, there is something else going on here. With the rise of the internet and the more recent rise of discontent among many citizens across the world, there has been a rise of these movements that people grapple onto. Occupy is probably a word you're familiar with, if you haven't got what I'm getting at. People are asking big questions, especially around how our world is run, what the nature of the multinational corporation is, and how our economy works. These are vital questions, but something else goes alongside this, and is arguably more prominent: the rise of the reality imperialist. This is the sort of person that when you use a word, they're scanning through your language and statements, applying their meanings and understandings, and trying to pigeonhole you as enemy or friend as quickly as possible. These are people attempting to ensure that their particular rigid view of morality is enshrined socially and politically. They come from all parts of the political spectra, from the religious fanatics to the Marxist revolutionaries. They all seem to subscribe to some universal understanding that I am yet to tread upon, probably because it doesn't exist. Language, as I have said before, is a fickle beast. Communication is more about intention than the symbols or words we utter in this moment. Although all language carries history with it, it also carries the potential for change within it. Where a word might have once been used to belittle, it can be reappropriated by others for more amicable means. It is more important to remember, however, that people don't always mean what you think they've meant. I think this is probably the core problem of humanity. We all speak past each other and hold delusions that our words actually mean something. Meaning is internal and is expressed through intention. Culture, which arguably arises around the use of certain communicative methods, is the attempt to express intention. But oftentimes, cultural barriers can be erected to create some kind of cognitive dissonance in people. This occurs when you end discussion and debate, when you end critical analysis and reasoning, and instead come storming in, claiming that, oh, actually, this is what you meant to say when you say that. No, what the fuck? No, that's not what I meant to say, or I would have said that. Why don't you ask me instead of assuming? Don't get me wrong. I know that with our little human brains, we require assumption and generalizations. Otherwise, the world would be a vivid mix of sensory inputs and a confusing mess of neuron soup. But always remember that perhaps the reason why someone is criticizing you is because they don't understand what you mean by something. Try and calm down, like I haven't just done. Take a deep breath. And remember that critical engagement is the best way. Be friends with the person at the end. The best friends are those with really different views that you can talk to them about. Morons are people that try and infer intention into you without asking or thinking about it. But it's okay. Morons can be friends too. couple of friends and I got to talking. I'm not entirely sure what we were talking about, but I think that was sort of the point.
Do we even begin to hint without even hint? Like, to just think that you're about to hint at it is more than enough for anyone else to suddenly realize the blatant obviousness of it.
You probably know a similar feeling when you're mid-conversation with someone and you know what they're going to say next without them saying it. They don't even need to use the same words because, as I think I have made clear, words are mere projections, facets of an intended meaning that comes from inside with intention. Neuroscience has evolved a lot recently, especially with new scanning techniques for scientists to peer inside the brain. One of the oddest discoveries that neuroscientists have found is that when somebody watches someone else doing something, the same neural pathways in the inactive participant light up, as if they were actually enacting what the other is doing. In other words, all the chemical and electrical signals in our brain seem to be the same when we watch someone do something as when we do that thing ourselves. This is perhaps one of the mechanisms involved with empathy, and why we feel what another feels without actually necessarily going through what they do. But perhaps there's more to it. Perhaps we communicate a lot more than we think we do. Perhaps there's something going on inside our brains that we aren't even aware of that helps us connect with others' meaning beyond the mere words they vocalize.
Well, this thing that's so obvious and all-pervasive that if you do even, like, begin to hint of it, it's already become obvious to the other person because it already was.
Like, read your mind sort of thing.
Like, are you talking about, like, an individual time when, you're hinting towards something and before you've even begun hinting, somebody gets it? Or are you talking about something universal?
It'd be like if it was really hot, for example.
And you're like, and somebody's like,
But before you even go,
they're going.
As soon as you go, they're like, for fuck's sake, yeah, man, I know.
I had that happen with teachers of dolphins, but it's like there's this thing that's
so blatantly inherent and over obvious that you don't even have to go. As soon as you even begin to go, the other person's like, because it's just that blatant. You're like, what the fuck? But it's like as if everyone else is oblivious to it all the time for some unknown reason, because it's that apparent. And you're just like, this is weird.
Yep.
That thing.
I get this repeating pattern. Sounds like sounds like om, that word that means the thing that it sounds like. It's this pattern. It's like it goes om, whatever, and it goes over and over and over and over. I'm not really sure I'm talking to you.
No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm sure it is, but I don't know how to. And it moves. It's a moving sound, like it's a. Maybe it's just gonna be my number one hit one day. I am the new One Direction. Fuck One Direction. I'm New Direction. I'm Two Directions. I'll diverge this. Yeah, it's close. It's actually pretty close. But I think as soon as you say it out loud, it's wrong.
Yeah,
and as soon as you write it down, it's not quite it. You can keep trying, but there's something about language that, like, dumbs it down, and you're like, no, that's not it. It's in my head. It's like whenever you try and draw a picture, and you're like, man, I know how to draw the Mona Lisa. I've got a picture in my head. Let me just apply the pen to paper, and I'll draw a stick figure again.
Thank you.
from Alex. A shorter episode this week. The length depends on how many contributions I can get for the show. I'd love to aim for 35 to 45 minutes, so if you have something lying around, get it out there. Share your artistic self. Don't be too critical. Everyone's very critical of their work. You can contribute anonymously if you're a little nervous, and remember that although higher quality recordings sound better, you may not have access to good quality recording equipment. Don't worry about that. This is just a grounds for sharing things in a moment, whatever it is. This is an experiment in collaboration. Contribute to the next podcast. Contact me by visiting the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/inpsychedelia. Thanks to this week's contributors. Further information on the artists can be found at inpsychedelia.podomatic.com.